talk.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank the organizer for inviting me here. My topic is optimal passes related to transport problems. At first, I will just remind you what is mass transport problems. So you get new plus and new minus, Roldan measures has the same volume, and you want to transport mu plus to mu minus at the minimum cost. So in 1781, Monge's problem says that if the cost is defined by the distance times that d mu of this one, and then you won't find any optimal transport map for it. But find any optimal transport map, here is a graph, it's very hard, so people just relax it and looking for any measures, right? So that's Kantorovich stuff. Okay. Just quickly remind you what's happening. So Kantorovich, instead of thinking about maps, think about probability measures. So you just prefer to, in x direction is mu plus, y direction is mu minus. And in general, you may put power p here to different cost functions. And or more general, you can put cxy over there. And use this one, you can define the Wattenstein distance, just defined by minimum cost to some suitable powers of it. And this is the distance and metricize the weak star topology of the probability measures. And you know it has many applications. And most of you know it much better than I do. So maybe I just quickly throw it away. Okay. But why should we always define the cost as an integral of functions? Okay. So suppose we have two atoms. Okay, two atoms here. We want to ship this one, transport this one from nearby city to your same destination, say New York. Okay. Then Monge's problem was tells you that what should we do? Well, we just transport this geodesic line segment go this way. Right? But there should be any other maybe more cost efficient way. Just means that we put them on the same truck and drive it to New York. Right? So somehow this one is more cost efficient. Okay? So in this case, a Y-shaped path is more preferable to a V-shaped path. And if you think about the cost, consider these two cases, that it is for map, they are same. Because just putting the 2 points to this one, they are same. So if you want to define the cost, this cost should be given by the path. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. Let's see. Okay, put this one back here. And this phenomenon happens everywhere. If you take a look at trees looks like that one, right? Railways, think about telephone companies and networking, and even in our ordinary life. For example, this toothpaste occupy me too much space. I want to save some space. What should I do? I put them together. And maybe tomorrow I need it, I take it apart. Right, you just get this one. Okay, that doesn't make sense. Okay. And Professor McCain mentioned an example to me that this lightning may also have this phenomena. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, this is just the phenomena of it. Let's try. I don't know. So now we can talk about problems. So give any two arbitrary probability measures, mu plus and mu minus, on a convex compact subset of X, we won't find any optimal path transport mu plus to mu minus, but I want to transport by a path. Okay, this Y kind of shape the path. Okay, so what should we do? So first we need to define a class of transport paths. Okay, so some kind of class of paths is something you need to define that one. And this definition should be broad enough to give the existence of optimal transport paths. Okay. Remember the maps, at first you just get graphs, you don't have existence. You need to think about measures. And here we need to define the transport paths broad enough to issue the existence. Then we need to define a cost function on this family of transport paths. This cost functional should say, well, optimal path should be overlaps in some cost efficient way, like y. Okay, you cannot just define the cost function arbitrarily, right? And also, we want to have some nice regularity of these optimal transport paths. I don't want the optimal path to be very weird, out of your imagination. Then that's not good. Okay? Then, what should we do? Okay. Transport general measures may be hard, but let's try easiest one first. Let's try atomic one first. Okay. So I have two probability atomic measures. Probability doesn't matter. It's not essential. Okay. Just for fun. Okay. So A and B here. There are two atomic measures of there. So we want to transport it. Then how? Okay. So I transport it by okay, try this one. By some vertically directed graphs. I use some graphs to transport it. These graphs are my paths. So by this graph, of course, should satisfy some conditions. Well, for simplicity, I just say this Kirchhoff's law knows. This means, let me see. Okay. Oh, geek. Anyway, for each point here, the sum of the, sum of this one should equals the width of this coming should equals the words come out. And this is also true on the boundary of it. Okay, so I didn't write that one. But also mean that one. So this will all be called a weighted direct graph for this one. And here, this graph is a graph. This graph, in fact, determines any vector measure. Okay, so for each edge, you can write this as a Hausdorff, one-dimensional Hausdorff measure, restricts on these edges. Then you get this. This is the vector measure. Then you sum it up. Then you get this G. You view this as a vector measure. And then the condition Kirchhoff's laws here can be replaced by that any divergence condition. So the divergence of this G equals A minus B. Okay. This is a conditions for that one. Then for any probability measure, atomic probability measure there, we define this class of paths just be the all transport paths from A to B, it just be the weighted direct graph satisfies the Kirchhoff's laws. Okay? Then let GX be the all possible paths. union of all path buses. Now, we have the family of transport passes, right? There are a lot of passes over there. We won't find an optimal one, and we want this optimal one to be Y-shaped, right? So, this means we need to define a cost function on it. The cost function defined on this space is here. We define an M-alpha mass of it. The graph. So the graph is there. Okay, so each wedge has some weights of zero. Then I just put some power alpha on the weights of the edges. Okay. So and then you know this is finite many edges. So you sum it up, you can give you a number. This will be the your cost. Okay. And here alpha is some number between zero and one. Okay. And of course this definition should be good, otherwise it is useless. And M alpha max minimizer will be Y shaped as we hoped, right? Okay. You just see, well, if you transport 2 points here to 1 point there, then on this mass, the optimal one will be like this Y. Okay? And the angle theta here, and to be optimal, this should satisfy any balance equation. And for this theta here, this theta can be calculated very well by depends on the width of M1 and M2 on the edges. Okay? This for 2 points to 1 point. This is Y shaped. I'm sorry.
M3 has no
exponent, is that
a takeoff?
Let me see. Oh, yeah, the alpha, sorry. Okay, I forget that. And this for 4 points, it looks like this one. Okay, so it. For 2 points to 2 points, it has three different types. One is the parallel, one is good this way, one, the other is good that way. Okay, three different kinds. Okay. Let me see, maybe I go too quick, I don't know. Anyway, where's 15? So now, some simple lemmas. First one says that I have a graph of zero, and if the graph may have some, contain some cycles, then you can get rid of these cycles, okay? Just by adding a suitable width of these cycles and get rid of it, okay? The second one says that, well, if you don't have any cycle, oh, let me see. Oh yeah, I forgot to say that. If you don't have any cycle, the width then will be between 0 and 1, and the mass of it, okay. So mass, put 1 here, and will be less than m alpha of it. The point why I do this calculation is because this one, if you view it as a vector measure, this will be just the total variation measure, total variation of this graph. So, I won't say that, okay, this total variation of this graph is bounded by the M alpha. Okay?
For M1 G bar,
yeah.
That's also the launch cost, I suppose.
That's right. That's right. You're right. Okay, now that's for atomic measures. Now we want to transport general redundant measures. Okay, so I have a mu plus here, mu minus here. We want to see how to transport this mu plus to mu minus. Okay, what's the idea? The idea here is that we approximate them by atomic measures. Okay, we want find some atomic matter to approximate mu plus and mu minus. And for atomic matter, we know how to transport it. We find this GI of there. Then take a limit of this GI by some kind of limit and to something. We call these things the transport path from mu plus to mu minus. Okay? So here, GI, I just said, are viewed as a vector matter. This means the origin of that, of GI equals AI must be I. Okay? And this one, since it is vector matter, we can just take the weak convergence of it. Then, as a limit, it becomes a vector matter. And the division of this one, of this, will be mu plus mass mu minus. Okay? So, and for each T here, so this T is given by this AI, BI, and GI. So the sequence of this triple causes any approximating graph sequence. Okay. Now, we can define the path of mu, so the path of mu plus to mu minus, so this will be the path of all transport paths from mu plus to mu minus. So this is a subset of vector matters on X, okay? And its divergence is mu plus mass mu minus. And for this one, we need to define the cost of it. The cost defined of it is just take all possible sequence converges to T, and for this GI, for each GI, you can calculate this is well defined, so you can take the limit of it and take the infimum of all possible triples converges to T. Okay? And it's very easy to see that by this definition, this M alpha is null semi continuous. Okay? Okay. Now I want to okay. Everybody knows this one, but okay, I want to use this dyadic approximation of matters. So I assume X from now on, I assume X is contained in a cube. Okay. The cube, the length of it is D, the center of it is C. Okay. Contained in a cube. Then you can just subdivide it. Okay, let QI be I's partition of it. So just make Q0, Q1, the edge length to be D over 2i. Okay? Then any random matter, mu I, just, okay, for this matter, mu QIH, then times the direct matter of 0, then this defines an atomic matter. And of course, this atomic matter will converge to mu. Okay? And we call this matter dyadic approximation of mu. Okay. Okay. The next name says that, okay, for any probability matter, I can find any transport path such that the cost from this mu to direct matter, such that the cost of that is finite. Okay. So how to do that one? Let's try the stupid one first. Okay. So suppose this is like Lebesgue matter of Zell, this direct matter of Zell. So first, well, I just subdivide it into n parts. Then each of them is always 1 over n. Then just do this kind of transport. Then if you sum it up, you'll find that the cost is above this one. And if you let n go to infinity, this will be infinity. So that for this kind of transfer path, it will be infinite. Okay, the cost will be infinite. Well, best way to do that one is by dyadic approximation. So in this case, if you dyadic of it, then you transport in this way, this kind of things. Then you summed up, you will find out the answer will be this one, C 1 minus 2 up. Okay? Then this for higher dimension just says, well, as far as for this direct measure are transported to 4 points, then these 4 points are transported to the here, and each point transported to there, and they keep on going. Then that one, if you calculate out, then that will be finite. The cost there will be finite. Yeah. So now we want to say the existing theorem.
So you have this restriction on the alpha.
Oh yeah, that's right. Alpha is greater than OM.
So is it known that there's no finite cost if alpha is not?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I still don't know that. Yeah. Now we want to get the existing theorem. Says that if you have a mu plus mu minus Rudolph measure with total mass lambda, and I restrict alpha, from now on I always restrict alpha to be greater than 1 over m, then you can find an optimal transfer path with least m alpha cost among all possible transfer paths from mu plus to mu minus. And of course by that name we know that the optimal one should be should you have finite cost, right? The proof here is very easy. You just pick and minimize the sequence. Of course, here I just assume that to be graphs. Then assume graphs have no cycles. Then the total variation of that one is bounded by the mR of it. Here just put some constant number there. And since this is mass minimizing, so this is bounded, uniform bounded because it is decreasing. And we know that alpha is greater than this one, it is finite. So this one is uniformly bounded. Since the total variation of it is uniformly bounded, then by the compactness of vector measures, it subsequently converges to some transport path, some vector measures. And that one will be and pass from mu plus to mu minus. Then after that, by the lower semi-continuity or m alpha of the cost, then you get it. Okay. Okay, any questions so far?
I want to ask the same question again. Suppose I take alpha very, very small, very close to zero, and I take the dimension very, very large. Is there any situation where you know that the...
Let me see. So M... No, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't check it.
Do you have a guess? Do you suspect that it's always finite, or do you expect that sometimes it's always infinite?
I think it's really hard to say. Yeah, I look for alpha greater than zero. That should be verifiable. Anyway, yeah, so far I think it's hard to say. I don't know. I cannot guess. Okay. Let me see. Okay. Then use this one. Define a new distance on the space of perturbation measures. Says that for any mu plus mu minus, you just define the distance between them with the minimum cost of transport cost. Then you can check that this df in fact is a distance. And in fact, it still gives the weak start topology. Okay? So in this case, it's very similar to the Watson synthesis, but you know that it's different from them. Okay? So now I have a proposition there that says, okay, mu plus mu max here, this, I use AI to approximate mu plus, BI to approximate mu minus, so they have some GI graph here. If the graph here, the GI is optimal, okay, then I claim T is optimal. Okay, so you just, this AI BI, you arbitrarily pick to approximate the mu plus and mu minus. Then if this is optimal, this is optimal. So, what does this mean? Okay, do that. This means we can pick our favorite approximation, okay, atomic matters, AIBI. You can pick yours, I pick mine, okay? So I just pick dyadic approximation of them, okay? For dyadic approximation, when you calculate it for mu and this nth dyadic approximation, then you can find that this is bounded by C to the beta to the power n, okay? So you know how small it is close. Then by this one we see that if you have mu plus, mu minus, this is dyadic and this dyadic. And suppose this n is optimal, then we see that m alpha of t here will be less than this part plus this part. This part is bounded by here. So you know that it's 2c beta n. So by this you know how well if you use a computer to do it, you see, well, you calculate GN, you find your GN and see how good is your approximation if bounded by these numbers. Okay. Now you may say, okay, what does it look like? Well, here just say, okay, I pick alpha equals 1/2. And this is the back measure over here, this direct measure. If you pick 2 points, then the graph looks Y, like Y. 4 points will look like this one. And this is the 8 point will be look like this one. Okay. And if you calculate the cost of it, you see this one is increasing somehow. It looks like it goes to infinity, but the theorem says that it should be finite, right? You cannot see it here very carefully, very clearly, but let me see, you can see it here. For alpha very close to 1, then the graph is very similar over there, but maybe you believe that this one will be finite. It will conjugate to something, right? Okay. So this is for alpha equal, let me see, I use 8 points here. If I use, I think I use 64 points. Okay, here is one pass from Lebesgue to Dirac. Okay, so it will be looks like this way. Okay. And here, just give you some ideas about general measures transporting mu. Okay, that's, let me see. Yeah, so this is the back measure. There's 4 points over there with different weights. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't remember which number five. But it's different weights, so you see, you have different shapes of it, okay? Okay, let me see, sort it out, okay. I'm walking through it very quick, too quick. Okay. This one says that, okay, the theorem says that it is a length space. So what I mean, length space property, what I mean is that, okay, for any mu plus, mu minus in the space of problem matters, okay, you can find a continuous map, say, from here to here, such that the first one, of course, mu plus, this one equals mu minus, and for any line segment here, the length here equals the length here. Okay, so that's what I mean by length space, okay? Okay, now I'm talking about regularity theorem. So for any mu plus and mu minus there, okay, think about any optimal transport path there, get a mu plus here, mu minus here, you have some kind of path connecting mu plus to mu minus. Then for any point on the boundary, okay, if this point on the support of the boundary, I might not be able to control it. Okay. In fact, maybe can't. Anyway, for any point, if not in the support of the boundary, then you can find a neighborhood of it, open ball, such that when T restricts on this level ball, it becomes a cone. Okay. So you just find as many nine segments. It is just like that one. Okay. Okay. Let me see. Here I want to say a little bit about the proof. Just sketch of the proof. Just idea of it. First, okay. By means of a result of Brown-White. Okay. So Brown-White's result says that if T is finite cost, if the mass is finite, then it becomes rectifiable. Let me see how many people don't know rectifiable. Okay. Anyway, so it becomes a rectifiable current, okay, in terms of geometric matrix theory. So here I just roughly say what means rectifiable. If you don't know, you can view it as a countable union of seven curves in some matrix theoretical way. You should just get rid of some matrix theory points, parts, yeah, of it. By this one we know that this T must be rectifiable. So it means it is a countable union of line segments. But this line segment can come together, converge to one point. So maybe that's not good. Then you can write think about the first variation of it. You can get the monotonicity formula. Then because it's minimizer, and you can get a tangent cone property up there. And by that, you can say that T somehow will be coming to, so T, this will be T here, P here, this will be containing some cones, okay? After coming to these cones, so this should be finite because this tangent cone, if you characteristic, I mean that's a tangent cone, then you get that one. Then you just pick one of them to here, so. So I'll assume this be probability matter, that doesn't matter. Okay, mu, and converges to a point. Okay, if you transport this one to a point, and this one is minimizer, then this means that, okay, it cannot be very, very weird here. It must contain any atomic matter here, on this level, some level nearby here. It will contains a point. This the mass any direct matter, the multiplicity of that will be very close to one. Okay, if this one doesn't exist, this weight will be very nearby one. Then some other stuffs that come into it. Okay? But you must have this dominated one. Because if you don't have that one, then this means everything here will be very small. Somehow you can split it, this pass into two passes. Then you get, get two passes over here, then somehow compare this with that one, this nine segment. Then you will get trouble. Anyway, so you will get this nine segment here, somehow here, but we still have something else, but very tiny things over here. Okay? You know what I mean here? Okay. Then after that one, let's try. Okay. So now we have something. I just pick this part here. So this part is very close to one, and I get some very tiny stuff over there. Okay, we transport there. Then, for this mass minimizer stuff, this one should somehow attracted to this the main route or main street or whatever. Try to contract to there. So somehow, for any point, For any point here, there will be because don't have any loops. Any point here, there will be a unique point here, such that this one collected here. So then, somehow you can say that on this part, the blue part, there will be nothing. Must be here. Everything here must be contracted to at the top of it, top bottom of it. All others, nothing else. So then here will become one. So then this means it becomes a line segment. Okay. Let me see how many minutes. That's right. Let me see, in the end, briefly said something not very important. Okay. Says that, okay. So I have A and B here, C and D here. We want to transport A and B to C and D. Okay. I have a path here to transport it. So when A and B transport here, that's fine. But when you transport here, you need to split it, split your goods. Then you may ask how to split it. How much this one half here? How much of this one half comes from B? And how much of it comes from A? Okay. You may don't know how to get it. The way to do it is, well, if you give me a transport plan, okay, just say how much of A will transport C, how much of D will come here, then this even is completely determined. A path and plan will determine the way is how to split the goods. Okay. For example, the number here is 7/18. Okay, for B to C, this is from B to C. Okay, for B to C, because there are no cycles from B to C, there is a unique path from B to C. Then you just put that weight on it, and you know that how to split it. Okay, let me see. Anyway, maybe that's it. Yeah. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Questions?
No, I cannot get any uniqueness now. Yeah.
Are there examples where it's non-unique?
yeah, of course, yes. Two point here. In some stage, this part is the same as this part. Yeah. With what?
Where is it?
define length space. No, for length space, I don't mean that unique. Yeah, I don't. I didn't hear you.
Both of these lead to minimizing paths.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I have another question about the regularity results. Mm-hmm. In all of your pictures, there are either one line segment going through the neighborhood or three line segments coming.
Maybe more.
Do you have examples where you have four or? Mm-hmm.
I don't have. Yeah, I haven't checked that one, but I guess in high dimension maybe have three. Or, I don't know. Maybe in two dimension should be. I think this should be Y.
Yeah. So that's my question. Yeah. In two dimension, can you prove that you never get more than a triple junction?
I didn't prove, but I think that's right.
I see. Because
if you have something more, maybe you get some very close to the bottom one, then you may have trouble. I think that's okay, but in high dimension,
three dimensions you would expect never to more than a
triple
junction.
Yeah.
Somehow the standard simplifies.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you again.
Okay, thanks.